Hashtag stop Galamsey now.
Fallen man also over to Galamsey Nima. Let the water flow. I will speak to him directly.
President John Dramani Mahama. Yellow blood dojo.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. It's live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra. We're also live on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, and affiliates in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Akpini FM, Pandu, Kitawon FM, Saboba, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Space FM, Takwa, Gaskia FM in Techiman, and Radio Sangmali in Mwa. Also live on X Spaces, Facebook, and YouTube. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams coming up. Tributes pouring for late Member of Parliament for Ayawaso East Nazir Touré Mahama's family constituents and colleague MPs bid him farewell, describing him as a dedicated MP who worked hard for both Parliament and his constituents.
He's a big brother. He's a big pillar in the region.
Anybody will tell you that Honorable Nasser was a very, very calm, respectful person.
We have details of the funeral. Also, minority in parliament criticizes aspects of Ghana's statement over U.S. invasion of Venezuela, insisting Ghana may be flexing muscles it does not have.
Where the minister is ordering a release of the president. For me, it sounds like a puppy standing in front of a lion, a big lion barking. The minister is just flexing muscles when he doesn't have.
Well, we'll hear from an international law professor who disagrees.
Ghana is a member of the United Nations, and the United Nations Charter is clear that what the U.S. has done is in violation of the U.N. Charter because it constitutes aggression, constitutes an armed attack on the sovereign state.
Also this afternoon, Ghana Tertiary Education Commission directs the University of Ghana to reverse the 2025-2026 academic year fee increment with immediate effect. We have details of that coming up shortly. And over 6,000 unpaid teachers give government a January ultimatum to pay up salary arrears or face a nationwide protest. We have details of that as well. And details as the group instructed lawyers to prepare a lawsuit against government over the outstanding salary areas in sports.
Manchester United sack Ruben Amorim as head coach after 14 months in charge.
And driver and vehicle licensing authority pushes back strongly against allegations of wrongdoing in the award of contracts for the production of new vehicle number plates, insisting there's been no impropriety.
DVLA is a law-abiding institution. In fact, our conduct at DVLA is regulated by law.
These and more with me, Mamie Sinya Mitchell Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Please stay. This afternoon, family, constituents and colleague MPs have paid their final respects to late MP for Ayawaso East, Nazir Touré Mahama, at a funeral service a while ago. The MP passed on in the early hours of Sunday at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital after a short ailment. His burial rites has just concluded at the National Mosque in Kanda here in Accra. Listen to some of his colleagues in the house and government officials speaking at the burial service currently ongoing at his residence describe the loss as devastating, noting that the late MP's commitment to public service and the impact of the passing on Parliament and the nation. This latest death brings to a total of members of Parliament who have passed away over the last year.
He's a big brother. He's a big pillar in the region. He was not just our colleague in Parliament. For those of us in Greater Accra, he was our father, chair of our caucus. We worked very closely with him. And barely 4 weeks ago, I was with him and his wife having some other conversations in my office. This is someone who has been, he's shown us the ropes when we got into Parliament to meet him.
We just began 2026. Nobody expected that this sadness will hit the caucus. I know this hassle of going for by-election and this kind of attacks on individuals is not the best.
What I saw in him was that he was a man of humility. very unassuming, very, very, very down to earth, very connected with his constituents.
Oh, it's such a big blow. And so I can.
Well, my colleague James Aveji was at the funeral and joins me in studio with details of what happened. James, describe to us how the ceremony went.
Well, Mamiesi, has been a very solemn ceremony there at the National Mosque, comprising the members of parliament, his colleagues, led by the clerk to parliament, as well as leadership of both sides. They arrived on the grounds at about 9:30 a.m., including constituents, a number of them numbering about hundreds, standing around to watch what has been happening. And then at about 10 a.m. His body arrived at the funeral grounds, and the janaza prayers, which is the last prayers for the demise, was very snappy, between 10-15 minutes between when the body arrived and when he was taken away. That prayers was offered, and then he was taken away for burial in Medina.
Since yesterday, some members of parliament, his family, have been sharing tributes. This morning, you've also been interacting with some of the MPs. What have they been telling you?
Yes, the minority, for instance, described his amicable association with a lot of them. He's been a friendly member of, on the other side, to most of them on the minority side. For instance, I spoke with the second deputy whip of the minority, Honorable Jerry Ahmed Shaib, as well as the chairman of the committee he belongs to as the deputy chairman, which is the Energy Committee. Honorable Bejra tells me that he is the oldest serving member of that particular committee. And as we speak, they have some very significant works to do as far as the GMPC's petroleum agreement is concerned. And we're looking forward to his leadership on that as well.
He doesn't mingle in any unnecessaries. He's very focused, and he has a very good personal relationship. Anybody will tell you that Honorable Nasser was a very, very calm, respectful person who didn't really matter about partisanship. What for him mattered was a cordial relationship.
It's a big pain. It's a painful loss to the committee. Because as we speak now, we have a law that is the amendment to the agreement, the petroleum agreement for Talo Oil and its partners, which needs to be looked at. And he has the historical knowledge of it. And so we thought we were going to meet this weekend. But as it is now, we have to postpone it and to maybe 2 weeks' time for us to meet. If it had been there, he would guide us that, okay, when they were passing it, this is what they did in 2013. But it's not the world, the Lord knows better.
Well, James, so what happens after the funeral?
Well, Mami, we are told that after the burial, they will come back to both his private residence in Spintex as well as his family residence in Nima for the final funeral rites to be done. We are also told that the president himself, John Dramani Mahama, will be paying courtesy call on the family later in the day.
Right. Thank you so much, James Aveji, for that update. Well, this afternoon, the minority in parliament have criticized the Ministry of Foreign Affairs over its recent statement on the United States of America's action of in Venezuela, abducting its president, Nicolas Maduro. In a strongly worded statement, Ghana condemned the action of the U.S. and demanded the immediate and unconditional release of the Venezuelan president and his wife. But the minority, while supporting in principle the theme of the release, warned the country against flexing its muscles that it doesn't have. We'll hear from the group shortly. First, though, my colleague Kweku Asante joins me in studio with a copy of the Foreign Affairs Ministry statement. Kweku, what are the details?
So yesterday, this statement from Okudzeta Black West Ministry said the government of the Republic of Ghana is alarmed at the unilateral and unauthorized invasion of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela by the U.S. and the subsequent abduction of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores in the early hours of Saturday. Ghana expresses strong reservation against unilateral use of force and strongly deplores such acts that violates the Charter of the United Nations and international law, as well as the sovereignty and integrity and political independence of states. Ghana also notes with deep concerns statements by U.S. President Donald Trump that the U.S. will run Venezuela These declarations are reminiscent of the colonial and imperialist era. They set a dangerous precedent for the global order. Set colonial ambitions should have no place in the post-Second World War era.
Kweku, thank you for that. Well, Deputy Ranking Member on the Foreign Affairs Committee in Parliament and also NPP MP for Bosumie Frehun, Nanasa for JIS, says the statement sounded like a small animal backing at a lion.
The only area where I believe strongly that it could have been out of the statement and still the point or the whole menstrual of the statement would still have been clear was where the minister is ordering a release of the president. For me, it sounds like a puppy standing in front of a lion, a big lion barking. The minister is just flexing muscles when he doesn't have. Ghana in itself, since the inception of the minister, has been under the whims and caprices of the US. I mean, the US tells you what to do. The US orders you around. The US engage you to do what they want to do and a whole lot. So you don't have that muscle.
But Professor of International Law at the University of Ghana, Kwejo Apiejetia, disagrees. He insists Ghana's condemnation of US's conduct is in line with international law.
Yes, definitely. Ghana is a member of the United Nations, and the United Nations Charter is clear that what the US has done is in violation of the UN Charter because it constitutes aggression, constitutes an armed attack on the sovereign state. And the president, as the president who was captured, enjoys immunity as the head of state of a sovereign country. So the processes involved in having him captured and taken to the U.S. to face trial on those narcotic charges are violently in violation of international law. So Ghana, as a member of the international community, did the right thing, and I commend the president for taking that bold initiative to come out and condemn the act. And the language is also diplomatic. It is not insulting or done in a manner as to violate the sovereignty of the U.S. in any way.
Well, he also described the actions of U.S. as a flagrant violation of international laws. Moving on, the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission has ordered the management of the University of Ghana to immediately reverse all recent fee increment and related dues for the 2025-2026 academic year. The directive follows widespread concerns after the university announced an average 25% increase in academic fees across all colleges, an increase the university management says was primarily due to third-party charges imposed by student leadership rather than the university itself. In a letter addressed to the university, GTEC emphasized that publicly funded universities are not permitted to revise student fees without following proper procedures, including obtaining approval from Parliament as required by law. Kweku Asante once again joins me in studio with details of this. Kweku, what is the basis for this directive?
So according to this statement signed by the Director General of the Commission, it says, we refer to our letter in which GTEC explicitly directed all publicly funded tertiary institutions not to implement any fee increases for the 2025-2026 academic year. Notwithstanding this directive, the Commission has been made aware that the University of Ghana has increased fees by about 25% and in certain instances introduced new fees without prior approval from the relevant authorities as required by law. Informed by this, the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission, by this letter, requests the University of Ghana to do the following. 1. Reverse any fee increase and or dues immediately. Credit all continuing students who have overpaid compared to last academic year fees for the next academic year. 3. Refund the difference to final year students who have paid in excess of the fees for last academic year. 4. Revert all dues, including SRC and GRASAC dues, to last year's academic year's rates. And then suspend any new fees, such as the 75th anniversary dues and development levy, if newly introduced, except for those that were already in place. You are hereby directed to provide GTEC with evidence of compliance no later than January 12, 2026. Failure, which will result in the Commission instituting serious regulatory sanctions against the University of Ghana.
Thank you, Kweku. Still on education, President Mahama has assured teachers that his government will review the single spine pay policy and address their concerns. He also confirmed that issues related to their three-tier pension scheme will be looked into. Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Ogbagba joins us on the line. Maxwell, what more did the president say on this?
Well, he talked about the issue of assault of teachers, and that was one of the concerns raised by the president of the Ghana National Association of Teachers. He went ahead to actually declare a zero tolerance for teacher assault and brutalization, threatening that teachers will not hesitate to lay down their tools if any teacher is assaulted in 2026. When President Mahama had the opportunity to speak, he stated that his government would ensure that no teacher is assaulted in the country. He said measures are going to put in place to ensure that. He actually condemned an incident where a teacher who was assaulted, some family members of the teachers tried to settle the matter privately. And he said that the teachers have his full backing and support, and he would ensure that measures are put in place to ensure that they are not assaulted in their line of duty. But earlier, the president of the Ghana National Association of Teachers made quite a number of demands. He stated that the teachers want an immediate review of the single spine pay policy. They wanted to reflect the president's resetting agenda to improve salaries and benefits of teachers. He also called for an urgent need for funding for public basic education, an urgent need for pension reforms, and then also the declaration of the zero tolerance for assaults. Now, President Mahama in his speech assured the teachers that his government would review the single spine pay, single spine salary structure to ensure that teachers get the maximum benefits out of it. We also talked about considerations for pension reforms as well.
Thank you very much, Maxwell, for those details. Now, the Collision of Unpaid Teachers has issued a stern warning to government to clear their outstanding salary arrears or face massive protests across the country. Despite a series of protests held throughout 2025, the group says more than 6,000 teachers nationwide are being pushed into financial hardship due to administrative delays and failure of the Ghana Education Service to issue the required staff identification cards. According to the coalition, many of its members have reported to post for between 10 and 15 months, but have yet to receive payment and have only received payment for only 2 months of work. Speaking during a press conference in Accra, lead convener of the coalition, Enoch Paul Ativo, says if government fails to respond to their concerns by the end of January, they'll be compelled to embark on a nationwide demonstration.
The legal action aspect that we are considering is what we find in the labor laws of Ghana. When you employ somebody, it's a contract, an agreement, and if you don't pay the person for a number of months, the person has the right to follow the legal procedures to go to court for his or her issues to be addressed by the judicial system of Ghana. So with that being said, we'll follow the laid down legal procedures. We'll seek legal consultations and advice. Then we'll take it up from there for our issues and concerns to be addressed. Should government not address our concerns this?
Well, my colleague Fatal Bayaga was at that news conference and is on the phone lines with us. Fatal, the group is also threatening legal action.
Exactly, Mami. They spoke about the fact that this particular situation has pushed many of them into hardship, and for that reason, now what they want to do in order to get their concerns addressed is to take a legal action against their employer, and that is the Ghana Education Service. So they're given the GES till the end of January. If nothing is done, then they would file a suit at the court to ensure that they fall the hands of the GES and the government to clear their arrears.
We firmly call on the government of Ghana, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Education, the Ghana Education Service to urgently address the following through this press briefing. One, payment of all outstanding salary arrears, all remaining staff identification numbers. Three, correction of assumption of duty dates. Four, the rectification of errors in ranks, points, and management units. 5, inclusion of missing names on both the master and the revalidation list. 6, validation of teachers who have staff identification numbers.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. Still to come, driver and vehicle licensing authority pushes back strongly against allegations of wrongdoing in the award of contracts for the production of new vehicle number plates, insisting there has been no impropriety.
DVLA is a law-abiding institution. In fact, our conduct at DVLA is regulated by law.
Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports.
Mamesi, Manchester United have sacked head coach Ruben Amorim. It is understood the club felt there had not been sufficient evidence of progress under the Portuguese. Amorim was appointed in November 2024 and won 25 of his 63 games in charge. Man United have won one of their last five matches and sit sixth on the Premier League table. Former midfielder Darren Fletcher, who is currently the under-18's head coach, is set to take charge temporarily for Wednesday's game against Burnley. Back to you, Mamisi.
Thank you very much. Now, the driver and vehicle licensing authority has dismissed allegations of impropriety in the award of contracts for the production of vehicle number plates, insisting the arrangement is an extension of an existing arrangement or agreement and permits subcontracting among local embossers. The clarification follows accusations of malfeasance levelled against the authority by the Vehicle Embossers Association. Speaking on the AM Show, Director of Corporate Affairs at DVLA, Stephen Atu, dismissed suggestions of impropriety, so stressing that the authority has acted strictly within the law.
DVLA is a law-abiding institution. In fact, our conduct at DVLA is regulated by law.
Yes.
If we do anything that is outside of the law, anybody can take
us. As for that.
Yes, so we do appreciate the enthusiasm and we love the fact that Ghanaians have embraced the pleats and the technology we sought to bring out. We can only apologize and indicate that yes, it is not only on our part that we were not able to roll out the pleat. It is because of the legal challenge we have had to do with the amendments proposed that we sought. We did a stakeholder engagement across all the 16 regions. And after we came back, we still got input from the stakeholders on what should go into the plate, which we did. And you see, if you don't do these engagements, more of driving this whole agenda from the people's perspective, you end up and bring something that the people will not accept.
Okay.
And so we thought to carry everybody along the way, but then we kept emphasizing the fact that we can only rule it out if we get the LI amendment going through. And that was the challenge we have had. But
okay.
It is not the case that will not come back. Once the LI approval is done, DVLA will roll it out. And then we will give everybody the opportunity to acquire the new license plate.
Meanwhile, the DVLA has confirmed a delay in the rollout of its new high security vehicle number plates, originally scheduled to begin in January 2026. The authority says the setback is due to ongoing legal and parliamentary processes yet to be completed.
If we needed to make amendments to the features that should be on the plate, as you have seen on the designs we brought out, we needed to work all of these things out and know what we want on the plate before we go before Parliament. So all those works were done. Along the way, we got the approvals from within DVLA, from the board and everything. Mm. I mean, the sector minister and every other thing. So once you get all those things done, then you can now work out the proposals and then you propose the amendments before Parliament and then you are anticipating that that will be carried through. Under regulation 10 of LI 2180, if you pick, I didn't bring mine into the studio. If you pick it, under regulation 10, it tells you specifically everything that should be on the plate. So okay. If you pick a plate and you have features that have not been spelled out in the LI, you are acting illegally.
Okay.
That's what it means.
So it means that you couldn't get the...
The government has an agenda to commercialize the use of motorbikes.
Okay.
So there you needed amendments in the parent act, which is the Road Traffic Act. That act was done. But the LI 2180 amendments did not mature.
Okay.
At the point, part of the discussions has to do with the fact that the LI had been in existence since 2012. There is a multi-agency LI. So DVLA has its portion. The MTTD has its portion. National Road Safety Authority has its portion. And a lot of amendments have been done over the years to get all these institutions functioning. So at the beginning, part of the argument was to the effect that, okay, Why don't you overhaul? Because the LI has seen so many amendments.
Let's head to Kaswa now. The Ghana National Fire Service has blamed an electrical fault for yesterday's fire that gutted over 300 stalls in the Kaswa market, torching thousands of CDs worth of goods. Let's get more from Joy News' Gemma Appiah. Gemma, what more has the fire service been providing?
So the fire service says that after reviewing the CCTV footage of the in-charge of the market, it showed that there was some electrical fault at the market which started the fire. But they're going to meet with the stakeholders of the market, sit with them and find out other factors that may have contributed to the outage. Now, what the fire service said was that the market or the traders took a bit of time before calling on the fire service to come in to douse the blaze. So the young men were the ones who were trying to put out the fire, and that delayed the response efforts of the Ghana Fire Service. And when they even got there, according to the fire service, and they found it difficult to gain access the market to be able to do their work. And so the regional commander, ACFO Grade 2, says that Merinda Atiga Mensa says that they are going to meet the stakeholders and find better ways to address such incidents moving forward.
Well, Gemma, you've also been interacting with some of the traders who lost their wares. How are they dealing with their losses?
They couldn't even speak to the media. They are visibly distraught. Some say that thousands of their wares were at the market and they couldn't even get access to salvage some of their goods at all. And so they've lost everything, but they're hoping to rebuild their lives with the support of government intervention.
Thank you very much. Gemma Pierre was at the Kaswa market earlier today when fire gutted several shops over there. Well, two suspects arrested in connection with the alleged assault of a 12-year-old girl at La are expected to be arraigned today. In the widely circulated video, suspects were seen mercilessly beating this girl, sparking widespread public outrage. In a press statement, the police explained that the incident followed an altercation between the 12-year-old and a 7-year-old relative of the suspects. And my colleague Michelle Latte joins me in studio with a copy of the police's statement. Michelle, what does it say?
The Ghana Police Service confirmed the arrest and the charging of the two suspects, identified as Precious Giftan Masope, a 22-year-old, and Princess Giftan Masope, a 25-year-old. They say the efforts are ongoing to locate and arrest a third suspect in connection with the case.
And there's also a statement from the Gender Ministry.
Yes, so the ministry condemned the abuse, reaffirming its zero tolerance policy on child violence. The ministry stressed that no circumstances justifies the physical and emotional abuse of a child, and it describes such acts as violations of the Children's Act and Domestic Violence Act, and assured the public that anyone found guilty will face the full force of the law.
Thank you, Michelle. It's 5 days into 2026, and expectations are running high as Ghanaians look forward to major changes and improvements across various sectors of the economy. These expectations, however, are not directed at government alone, but also at citizens. Some listeners of Joy FM share their views on the Super Morning Show.
My expectations of the government is in the agric sector, looking at the floods from the Bagri Dam over the years, and looking at the effect of Galamsey excavators that are being seized. I've said it before. Why don't we mobilize these excavators? Take them up north. Look at where the Bagri Dam, when it's filled, enters into Ghana. I think we should have water engineers who should be able to develop a canal so that the water does not spill over, destroy the farms that people do year in, year out.
When I gauge the patriotism level of Ghanaians, it is in single digits, and I expect that we will change. Kojo spoke about tax payments. It is one of it.
Some Ghanaians, they're expressing their expectations for 2026. Well, Adobe Asari joins me in studio. Good to see you
good
in 2026.
Good to see you.
The year starts today, at least for most offices, right?
Yeah.
What's trending?
Okay, so Amorim and Manchester United are trending. And the news is that Ruben Amorim will now be referred to as former coach of Manchester United because he's been relieved of his duties.